Crib Notes, things parents Google at 3 a.m.
Powered by The Breastfeeding Friend.
For breastfeeding advice, available 24/7 on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.
Welcome to episode 4 of Crib Notes. It's Rick here alongside Dr. Sarah.
Crib Notes is the new medical podcast discussing the things that parents Google at 3 a.m.
And today we're talking about something really important. It's how to get going at breastfeeding.
We're joined by Geraldine Mishkin, who is a breastfeeding counsellor, and we'll be discussing initiating feeding, that latch, and your milk coming in.
I was just about to ask you how Daisy was, but have you just changed your jumper?
We're on audio. People do not need to know this.
Sorry, what's happened?
Well, we may have had a Category 5 nappy explosion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, both of us changed our outfits.
Right, I think we should just get on with it. Don't forget, what's discussed today is the opinions of the individuals and not the organisations they work for.
And while we hope you find this podcast helpful, remember, this is not personal medical advice. If you are concerned, do speak to a professional.
Geraldine, thank you so much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Is this the first podcast you've done with a bloke about breastfeeding?
I think it is. Actually, I'm kind of excited to see how this one goes. But then again, dads are really important and men are such a good focus of my sort of consultancy, so it's good.
I was talking to Sarah about it and I was thinking, you know what? It's quite uncomfortable when I told a few of my friends about saying, I'm talking about breastfeeding, about the V or the C. We'll get onto that. And they're like, well, what are you talking about? You've got no idea. Why are you doing this? I said, for that very exact point, I need to know these things, don't I? Because if we don't know, you know, we can just get away with it then, basically, yeah. Can't we?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there is just so much to know that can really help you to help your partners. And dads are just so brilliant at being logical and practical. So the more dads can learn as well, the better.
Because we know as well that if dads are informed, the mums are more likely to succeed, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah, it's such an important part of the team.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Geraldine. I personally found you really helpful when I was struggling with my little one initially. So I hope that you'll be a breath of fresh air for many of the mummies who'll be listening today. So we know that most mums do try and breastfeed. We know that there are many health benefits, which we'll talk about in later podcasts, and that actually this can, later down the line, be the easiest way to feed your baby. But it doesn't always come easily, does it?
It doesn't, but that's just very, very normal. If you think about any skill that you're going to learn naturally, you know, like learning to walk or that kind of thing, it doesn't happen in a day. Sometimes it takes a bit of time, and that's absolutely fine. Some babies are able to latch and feed really, really easily right from the start. So, you know, whilst it doesn't always start smoothly, for many mums it really does. So just know that either start is completely normal.
And mums and babies are both learning for the first time, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a pressured environment. You know, if you think about this, mum has got this tiny little baby who she loves so dearly. She wants to do the absolute best. There's a lot of pressure to get it right. So, you know, you can understand why
Absolutely.
It's so pressured.
I think one thing which would be really helpful is if we just discuss right at the beginning, so going back to that very first feed.
Yeah, the first feed is just amazing. And it's one of those standalone experiences that can't really prepare you for anything. But the most important thing is just to really, you know, lean back and let your baby do exactly what they meant to do. So our babies are actually primed to feed lying on their tummies. And so when they lie on their tummies, it gives them more control of their head. So they can actually, you know, nod their little head and actually go and crawl and find the breast. It is so adorable.
It's incredible, isn't it? The way they can wriggle up.
Yeah, and they wriggle up, and it's such a beautiful thing to see. So when I see mums doing this with their babies for the first feed, it's so beautiful, and it shows you just how, you know, babies are actually primed to feed. And the first feed is a completely standalone experience. You know, it depends on what your labour was like and your delivery was like. You know, some babies will sort of wriggle and go and crawl and latch onto the breast within 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Sometimes babies need a bit of help. But, you know, it's really nice to just take the pressure off, lean back, let your baby come skin to skin onto your chest and see what happens, and let nature take its course, basically. And what we find is that when babies actually latch like that, it doesn't hurt. So it's a really nice way to just explore and see how cute and clever your little one is.
So skin to skin can be quite important, can't it?
It is so important. So when babies are skin to skin with their mum, it's the quickest way for them to sort of reduce their heart rate and really calm down. And this is really important, especially for the first feed, because during labour and birth, there's so much adrenaline and cortisol being pumped through the baby's body. we want that all to drop, because if you think about how, you know, you're not hungry when you're very, very stressed. And so we want everything to drop away. We want the baby to be nice and calm, because that's when the appetite sort of peaks up and they go looking for the breast. And it's really amazing how mums and babies work together. So the reason why we want that breastfeed to happen quickly is because when the baby latches onto the breast, the body releases a huge boost of oxytocin, which helps contract the uterus and eliminate or expel the placenta, which is really, really important for mums. So mums and babies work so beautifully together.
So ideally we say that this feed should be in the first hour. Yeah. But I do want to reassure parents that if skin to skin doesn't happen or the feed doesn't happen in the first hour, that is by no means going to prevent them from breastfeeding.
Oh, 100%. You're so right. Again, we put so much pressure on ourselves to get everything right. You know, for many mums who are maybe having a C-section, they might not be able to do skin-to-skin with their baby, you know, immediately. But then, you know, dads and partners can
do it. Can dads do it first as well?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Is that's not a problem when it comes to breastfeeding if the dad does skin-to-skin first?
No, not at all. You might have the sort of like the wriggling and the nipple tweaking and all that kind of thing as well, but just go with it, enjoy it. And then once mum and baby are able to get back together, you know, you guys can just take off again where you were. And it's really nice that dad and baby have had a chance to just reconnect. Mm.
There are so many myths, aren't there, about breastfeeding?
The first myth I'd be keen for us to bust now, if that's okay, is breastfeeding being painful. Can we talk about that one?
Yeah. Do you know, breastfeeding being painful is very, very common, which is why it's almost become the norm. Do you know what I mean? And so many people say your nipples are very, very sensitive and your nipples have to toughen up and all that kind of thing. And that isn't true. Some mums do have very sensitive nipples, and you'll know that you've got sensitive nipples because you know you've got sensitive nipples, right? But if not, then breastfeeding shouldn't be necessarily sore. But if you think about it, when we're looking at breastfeeding, we're looking at how the nipple and the breast fits into the baby's mouth. And sometimes when you've got a teeny tiny baby who maybe doesn't have a very big mouth, they can't scoop up a lot of breast tissue. So it's going to be a tight fit. It's a bit like, you know, getting your foot into like a beautiful shoe that's just new. Do you know what I mean?
It's getting used to it.
It's getting used to it. But then in a couple of weeks after, you know, baby's gotten a bit bigger, there's a bit more space, baby can latch and scoop beautifully, which is where the myth comes from that says it's going to hurt for 2 weeks and then everything is absolutely fine.
I'll be honest,
fine.
I did find it uncomfortable. But I think if you're having excruciating pain, it's really important to get help, isn't it?
Exactly. So many mums are so dedicated and so committed to doing what's right for their baby, they put their health secondary or
and
last.
Actually that can lead to further problems.
Exactly. So getting help when you are finding that excruciating pain is really important, and there's so much help available.
The Crib Notes podcast is a co-production with The Breastfeeding Friend. It's available on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.
So this skill has been loaded with loads of new features and information, including soothing sounds, relaxing music and lullabies for you and your baby when you're doing the night feed. Plus, Crib Notes is on there too.
Can we talk about that latch?
Yes. Okay. So
is this the V in the C?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
So we were practicing yesterday with me.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
I've got something exciting for you in my bag.
Oh, really?
See you later. So in terms of the latch, what we're looking at is we're looking for an off-center latch. So if you imagine you've got the nipple and then the brown bit that goes around the nipple is called the areola. And so when your baby is latching onto the breast, we want baby to have an off-center latch. So your baby's top lip is going to be close to the nipple and baby's lower lip is going to be further away.
So the nipples to the nose.
The nipples to the nose, exactly. And so when baby's latching, the lower lip is closer to the areola edge. Now, a lot of mums think that their baby has to scoop the areola from underneath. That's not true. If your baby's lying across your body, it would be the areola close to your other breast. And if your baby's feeding in the underarm position or the rugby hold, sort of down the side, it's going to be the outer areola. So it doesn't matter how your baby's positioned, it's always that off-center latch. So we line babies up nose to nipple.
Mm-hmm.
And
the reason we do that as well is to help the baby's neck extend slightly, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So when we line baby up nose to nipple, we know that baby's going to have to make sure that their little heads can tilt back and their lower lip is on the areola edge and they come onto the breast they come onto the breast sort of directly. So in terms of latching, the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that the baby's really close to mum. Because when you're bringing baby onto the breast, it has to be a very quick action. So the quicker you get baby onto the breast, the quicker your nipple gets to the back of baby's mouth. So, you know, you want to be holding baby nice and close to you. Sometimes I find babies are too far and then it's just such a hike to get the baby onto the breast. So nice and close.
I've heard people describe this as tummy to mummy.
Yes, exactly. Tummy to mummy, nice and close. The second thing is you want to be aware of where your hand is, because when baby's latching onto the breast, he's going to have to tilt his head back. So we want to make sure that there's nothing on the back of baby's head. If when you're placing your hand, make sure that your hand is more on sort of baby's upper back. Yeah, so hand on baby's upper back, nothing behind the head. Then we want to make sure that everything is in alignment. So baby's ears, shoulders and hips are in alignment. So baby's body is nice and straight, okay? Then we want to do nose to nipple. So nose to nipple, really make sure that the baby's at the right position. So baby's going to scoop up the right bit of the breast. And also, as Sarah said, when the baby latches, because he tilts his head back, he stretches his neck. So he's able to scoop up more breast tissue and also makes breathing and swallowing a lot easier. And then lastly, we want to make sure that the feeds are really satisfying. Now, a lot of people think that can be like it has to be a 40-minute feed. It doesn't. It's more about how often the baby's swallowing. So if the baby's swallowing really, really frequently, like, you know, just going swallow, 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 it might be a 5-minute feed. Mm. If baby's drinking more sucks, it's going to be a longer feed. So it's not...
can really vary.
It can really vary.
I was going to say, so many of our friends have said to us, you know, they've been in a lot of pain when they've been breastfeeding. One question that we keep getting is, when is it too painful? You know, at what point do we say, well, actually, we need to stop here and have a look at it?
Do you know what? I would say with any pain, it's worth just getting it checked.
So important just to get someone to have a quick look at that latch and get as much help early on, I think.
Yeah.
One thing I think is good to mention, which you were talking about earlier, was that it's really important for the baby to be put on quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I've heard midwives call this shoving the baby on. And it sounds like you're being quite cruel, shove the baby on. But actually, it's really important so that they can get enough breast tissue in the mouth, isn't it? If your baby does not have a good latch, they'll be just on the nipple. They won't get the tissue behind it. So that's when you get the more painful suck.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So the quicker you bring baby onto the breast, the quicker the breast goes into the baby's mouth. So when a baby's latching, we've got a nice big wide mouth. So we line baby up nose to nipple. And the key thing is that when something touches baby's noses, often they'll do this little rooting, this little bird-like motion where the little mouth's open really, really, really wide. And when that happens, you bring them on super quick. And then the nipple goes right to the back of baby's mouth.
Mm.
Now, often with latching, when mums find that the latch is sore to start with, often it's because they're bringing baby onto the breast really slowly and tentatively because it's a new baby, right?
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Be quick. Because if you do that slowly, the baby's going to suck the nipple to the back of the mouth. And that then gives you that sharp ouch.
I didn't really know it went to the back of the mouth.
If you're pressing on the end of the toothpaste, you're not going to get anything out. It actually needs to be behind.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You really have to be sort of getting the areola. There isn't any glandular tissue in the nipples. It's more the areola. It's more the breast, which is why it's called breastfeeding.
Do you know milk itself? How is it actually produced?
One way of describing it is if you imagine bunches of grapes, but on a very, very teeny, tiny, tiny, teeny scale. But if you just imagine that you've got these tiny clusters of little milk sacs with milk ducts that connect them, that then all connect to bigger ducts and eventually connect to the nipple where it all comes out. Now, each little milk sac has got a little contractile unit. So what happens is the blood brings all the components to these little milk sacs, which is basically just a little sac of cells, basically. The milk is then made in those cells and stored in these teeny tiny little bags. And that happens pretty much as the baby starts feeding. So when the baby starts feeding, your body releases oxytocin, which then contracts the little units around the milk sacs, and that ejects the milk. And that's what we refer to as a letdown. And then they pop back open and refill. So you'll have multiple flushes of milk during the feed.
And is there a time that actually happens? So is it straight away after the baby's born, or can it happen before then?
Well, you see, your body's actually producing colostrum before your baby's born in preparation for birth. So anywhere from about 12, 14, 16 weeks, mums can even start to see sometimes this sticky residue on their bra. So you're your body is basically getting ready for your baby to be born, but your placenta acts as a handbrake, okay? So if you think about pregnancy, as you come closer to birth, that's when you're probably more likely to see leakage and that kind of thing. And just like a car, if you've got a car with a handbrake on, the car can go, but it can't go very fast, right? As soon as you take the handbrake off, your milk supply increases, which is why we don't really like to say your milk is coming in, because it's in already, yeah?
It's pretty clever, really.
It's so clever.
Very clever.
It's really clever. As soon as your placenta is delivered, your milk supply is then driven by how much your baby drains, and it is just perfect.
And that'll just keep going. That'll just keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
And should we mention a bit about colostrum as well and what that is, that first milk?
So the first milk is, if you imagine, the first milk is colostrum, and obviously it's available right from the early weeks. And it is such a beautiful, sort of really strong, condensed version of all the goodness you get in breast milk. So antibodies.
Liquid gold.
Liquid gold. But it's a very condensed version for
very
a couple.
Thick.
Really thick. So what happens is, because your baby's stomach is teeny tiny, it's only the size of a Malteser, we can't have a large volume of milk going in. So what's going into this teeny tiny tummy has to be really, really, really valuable. It's an amazing laxative. It's got all these antibacterial
immune benefits,
yeah. Exactly, all that kind of thing. So it's really important for your baby to get that if possible, so much so that many mums are actually harvesting the colostrum and taking
it into
hospital.
I think the new NHS guidelines actually are that from 37 weeks, they say that mums can consider harvesting and storing it at home so that when their baby is first born, it takes that pressure off.
Yeah.
Sarah showed me some of her frozen milk in her freezer yesterday.
And you
were impressed.
Of all the years I've been going round there, she's never got that out of the freezer before.
Frozen peas are not quite exciting.
See, we're not afraid. We just get it out.
It's
absolutely fine.
So Kels's wife, Chantelle, is due very soon, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. We don't have any frozen milk in our freezer yet.
Not yet.
It'd be a bit worrying, actually, wouldn't it, after this conversation? Can I ask kind of like the golden question, which people ask me all the time? How long are you supposed to breastfeed for?
Well, do you know what? I believe the human body expects breast milk for at least 6 years. So anything that you are able to do is going to be amazing. So if you think about it, the human body is, you know, as the baby's getting bigger, the immune system is building. And in many countries, you know, children do breastfeed until 6 or 7. The World Health Organization recommends we breastfeed until 2. 6 months, pretty much exclusively, if possible, you know, but any breast milk, absolutely any breast milk is going to
anything is better than nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything is worth it.
Because a lot of people
are
just
really up to the personal choice of the family and what works for them.
A lot of people would be shocked, though, wouldn't they?
Happy mum, happy babies.
Yeah.
People would be surprised when you hear that, I think.
Well, the thing is that we don't really see breastfeeding, and it is such a normal thing.
It's becoming as it should be, more normal now, you know, places that...
It's the most normal thing in the world. But even a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you saw the
You showed me.
So the KLM, the airline, there was a lady who was on the airline who was asked to stop breastfeeding in public. And this is in 2019.
It's outrageous.
But I think it's one of those things that's the most natural thing in the world. And actually, mums have a right to breastfeed in public.
Absolutely.
And most places, actually, people are so welcome to it. And I've never had a problem, touch wood. Yeah. Everyone has gone out of their way to make sure that breastfeeding in public has been comfortable.
And Sarah goes out a lot.
I love going into cafes. Yeah.
And I think we need to see more mums doing, not that we need to see more mums doing it, but it's just so nice, you know, like it's just so nice to see mums feeding their babies and just being like totally at home and totally relaxed with it. Mm. And we need a public that supports that.
Really.
Geraldine, you mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, the amounts of times that the mums will be breastfeeding. Mm. But is there a rough kind of number? Are we talking 8 to 12 in a day?
So typically, I mean, it varies quite a lot. When babies are very first born, so right in the early days, you probably find that they're going to need to feed less frequently. So, you know, like the first 24 hours, because they've got a lot of brown fat, their tummies are really teeny tiny. Typically, they'll want to feed, or I'd recommend that you offer the breast at least every 4 hours. Get them up, make sure that they're getting the colostrum in. if they're wanting to feed sooner, that's amazing. You know, some babies right from the get-go want to feed every hour, every 2 hours, that kind of thing. But typically for the first 24 hours, I would say make sure you get at least 6 feeds in.
And the more that you feed, the more it helps bring the milk in.
Exactly. And it's also going to make sure that the babies are doing, you know, lots of dirty nappies and they're not losing too much weight. So it really pays off to start. The next 24, 48 hours, you'd probably find that feeds pull together a bit closer. So maybe sort of we'd be coming down to every 3 hours. But again, that's at least off of that every 3 hours if baby wants to feed sooner, do that. And then we sort of keep it at sort of 3 hours or less until the baby regains their birth weight. So we know baby's going to lose about 10% of their birth weight. We want to make sure that we're feeding as often as we possibly can, as often as the baby wants, until they regain that birth weight. And if you think about it, the more you are getting into baby, the less weight they're going to lose. Mm. So do you mean you get back up to that nice, healthy birth weight very, very quickly?
One thing that mums ask a lot, actually, is do they need to wake their baby up for feeds?
Yes, I would. Honestly, in my practice, when mums don't wake babies up, I tend to find that that's where the problem goes. Because
This is right at the beginning.
In the early days. If you think about it, your baby's been had everything delivered via the umbilical cord for 9 months. And some babies are going to wake up, some babies aren't going to wake up. But if we're getting, the reason why I get mums to wake babies up are for three reasons. One, we want to make sure that your baby's getting as much colostrum as possible, not only for the immune boosting properties, but for the laxative. Because the more they poo, the less jaundiced they're going to be. Okay, really important. The second reason is that I want mums to wake their babies up is because they're going to lose less weight. Now, when they lose less weight, they've got more stamina to feed. So we get more effective feeds. And the third reason is that the more you feed, the more your body gets a measure of how much to produce. So it really supports your supply. When mums don't feed often, I often find that the weight loss is greater. Babies are becoming more jaundiced and often, you know, can end up back in hospital, which is so easily avoidable.
And how long does that go on for?
So the, what's
the 4 hours, the average, the 4 hours.
So 4 hours for the first, you know, 24, 48 hours. And then it becomes 3 hourly day and night until baby regains birth weight. Once baby's regained birth weight, I like to keep babies on a 3 hourly feeding pattern. And then we can let them go a little bit longer at night so we can demand feed at night.
I found that one of the most helpful things that you told me when Daisy was little.
Yeah.
So we always say about demand feeding, yeah, but actually after she'd regained birth weight, I was always offering her every 3 hours, even if she and more if she wanted it. And actually that really helped tank her up. So she slept for longer overnight as well. So that was really helpful.
Yeah.
No wonder you get knackered.
Breastfeeding is, it's valuable.
It's exhausting, but it's also can be really enjoyable for mothers.
But
as well.
Can I chip in? I can chip in somewhere, can't I? If we do use the frozen milk.
Yeah.
Later down the line.
Yeah.
One thing I just wanted to mention, we talked about the colostrum and the sizes and the amounts. So just so that mums can be reassured, when babies are first born, it's really tiny amounts, isn't it?
Teeny.
So remember, the Malteser is, I think, a really good visualisation. So the first day, you actually only have a stomach size, the size of a Malteser, don't you?
Yes, exactly. So it's teeny, 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 tiny. And I know that we were talking about food and you had some really good other food examples here because I normally use different things. But in terms of the stomach size, it does get bigger very quickly. So you sort of go from a Malteser and then...
to like a walnut to around like a day
little,
three.
Little walnut and then maybe to something the size of a little apricot.
Yeah. By the end of the week.
By the end of the week, day 10.
And then 10. End of the month, an egg, I think, roughly.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously it's going to vary from baby to baby. You know, if you've got a teeny tiny baby, it's going to have a smaller stomach. If you've got a bigger baby, it's going to have a slightly bigger stomach. So
one thing I think would be really helpful for mums to know is how they know whether the baby's getting enough milk.
Okay, so in the early days, so the first 10 days, you're very much looking at the poos. So what goes in has to come out. And I've got 5 colours of poos that we want to monitor. So day 0, 1 and 2, we'll see that the baby's poos are black. Day 3 and 4, they become dark green. Day 5 and 6, they become brown. 7 and 8, orange. 9 and 10, yellow. Then the poos remain yellow. And that's what tells you that your baby's getting
like a
really nice.
Grainy.
Exactly. And baby's getting really nice, you know, good sort of balance of milk. So the colouring, the change is going to be really good. And also it's a very quick indicator to tell you that your baby's not getting enough milk. Okay, so if it poos are slow to change, then we need to step up and maybe, you know, do something about it. Another thing that you're going to notice is that your baby's going to be more likely to go to sleep after feeds. But also the weight is really important. So I really encourage mums to have their babies weighed on a regular basis. So we know that the midwives will be around to weigh baby around day five to check that there isn't more than a 10% weight loss. Thereafter, we want to see that babies are gaining about 30 grams a day. So that's going to tell you that your baby's getting enough milk. In terms of a feed, I would always recommend that mums offer both breasts. If baby doesn't want the second breast, then it's totally fine. They're not going to sort of take it.
Mix it up.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll know that your baby has had enough in a feed. So let's just say you do one side, maybe do a wind and change baby's bottom mid-feed and then offer the second side if you sort of feel that the first side is, you know, sort of lighter.
And you can feel as well, can't you, in your breast?
Yeah, exactly. And so you know that your baby in a feed has had enough when you can roll him off the breast and he lets go really easily or without too much of a protest and then is happy to go for a couple of hours until the next feed is due.
And wet nappies is also key, isn't it?
Wet nappies, exactly.
It's sometimes quite hard to tell initially because they're so little, but there's a little blue strip in the bottom of your nappy, which is helpful.
Yeah, isn't it? Exactly. Yeah. And if you think about the size of the baby's stomach, there isn't a lot of fluid. So we wouldn't expect to see huge amounts of, you know, wet nappies independently in the early days. But as baby gets bigger.
That's actually some of the best advice anyone's actually given me as a dad-to-be. Don't bother practicing changing nappies. You're going to have to do enough of them.
You're going to be a master of it.
Why practice? Complete waste.
It takes about an hour the first time and then you're doing it one-handed in the dark while I'm on the phone.
Exactly.
Is a satisfying burp a good sign?
It's a really good sign, and especially for breastfeeding babies. So that's another myth that we can bust right here. So a lot of mums are told that breastfed babies don't need to be burped. But honestly, if you can get that wind up, it will make it so much easier for them to latch and feed again. And one way to know that your baby does need to burp is you'll find that their bodies are very rigid, they're really sort of wriggly, and often they'll sort of come on and off and on and off and on and off and on and off the breast. So definitely wind your breastfed babies, especially if you can hear them doing those cartoons sort of like gulp, 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 or you can hear them going clicking, you know, all that kind of thing, because your flow is just so fast. So definitely practice the burps. Really important.
And the burping, what it does is when you're feeding, you'll have little air going in at the same time, and it's just helping bring those bubbles up or down.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's different ways that we can do that, aren't there?
There are. But the principle with burping is this. Make sure that your baby's back is nice and straight, because then you can allow the air up really easily. And also make sure that your baby is relaxed. So sometimes when there's a lot of air and wind in the baby, they're in pain. And so they're crying and squirming and that kind of thing. So find a way to burp your baby, even if it's standing up with the baby over your shoulder and just gently jigging, you know, sort of jigging baby on your lap. But find a way to calm baby down.
So we know that with babies that sometimes they can spend a lot of time on their breasts, but they're actually not feeding, are they? And it's really important that we make sure that they're feeding efficiently for definitely both mum and baby.
Yes, exactly. So when a baby's feeding, you want to be making sure that you can see the swallow. And the best way to look for a swallow is get a friend or a partner to take a glass of water and drink in front of you. And what you're looking at is when you swallow, the bit just behind your chin is going to drop and pause really deep. And so it's that long drop and pause. So when you're looking at babies, you'll see that the bit just behind their chin sort of moves quite rapidly in a wave-like motion, and that's the sucking. So sucks are short and shallow. And then when a baby does a swallow, the bit behind the chin drops and pauses a split second longer and a bit deeper. Now, that's really important, because if you think about drinking a glass of water, you can down a glass of water in like 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Or you can sip on a glass of wine for a couple of hours.
Not the way I drink it.
So we want to make sure that the baby's drinking really, really efficiently. And so what I talk about when I'm working with clients is the ROI. So what's the return on investment? You want to make sure that your baby's doing 1 to 2 sucks per swallow, because that's a nice, even sort of pattern. You know, the milk's coming down quite nicely. if baby's doing, say, 10 sucks to a swallow, the return on investment's not that great. And so babies are going to be burning calories instead of banking calories.
And that's when the babies are just on for hours and hours on end.
Exactly. And whilst you might think a long hour sort of feed is great, what's actually happening is that the baby's stomach is emptying. So as the milk is trickling in, it's trickling out. So you might be feeding for an hour and a half or whatever. And then you think, great, we're done. And baby's like, hold up. My stomach's not full. We need to feed again. And that's how mums get stuck on the sofa.
We think one of the things that we see is that we know that babies, when they're feeding, that actually makes them quite sleepy. Mm. But there's lots of ways that we can actually help prevent that.
Yeah, exactly. So just going through the efficiency, you want to always make sure that once you've latched your baby onto the breast, you want to make sure the baby's nose is free. So if you're feeding your baby cross body or however your baby is feeding, if you tuck baby's bottom close to your body, you'll see that the nose pulls away ever so slightly. So that's really nice. The cheeks, we want to make sure are both still touching the breast, because when both cheeks touch, the baby drains the upper and lower half of the breast really evenly.
And then, that can also prevent you getting engorgement and things as well.
And mastitis, exactly. So when mums get mastitis, often it's because one cheek isn't touching. So baby's not draining that half of the breast. And so the milk becomes stagnant there. So nose free, both cheeks touching, and then you're looking for swallows. Now, if your babies are little, they're going to get so loved up because they're getting all these endorphins and love hormones and nice warm milk. So they go to sleep. So one way to keep them awake is also just put your hand flat on the breast, push in. So flatten your breast against your rib cage, hold for 20 seconds. And what that
compress.
Does... Compress, exactly. And what that does is literally just spray milk into the baby's mouth.
Wow.
That really works. Daisy found that very helpful.
It's so quick and easy, and every mum should know. So what
it's
you
like
do
a shot for a baby.
Yeah. So it wakes them up really quickly, and you can work your way around the breast. So, you know, top, side, side, side. Now, if your baby's had enough, you'll find that he just comes up because he's like, whoa, too much. But if he's just having a little snooze, it will really wake him up and get him feeding again. And another nice tip is, you know your breast is empty when you've compressed and worked your way all the way around the breast and baby's sucking but not swallowing, because compression creates a manual letdown. So if there's milk there, we'd find that.
And even things like, for example, undressing your baby so that if they're too hot, that helps cool them down, tickling their toes or using a cold cloth, that can all be helpful to help keep the baby awake and maximise feeding. And it might sound cruel waking your baby, but actually it's far better for the baby and for you if they can have a concise feed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. A good short, sharp feed, really efficient for both of you, and then a break.
Geraldine, thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been really helpful.
And we like you so much that we're going to have you back for a part two.
Yay!
Don't forget, what's discussed today is the opinions of the individuals and not the organisations they work for.
And while we hope you find this podcast helpful, remember, this is not personal medical advice. If you are concerned, do speak to a professional.
Crib Notes, things parents Google at 3 a.m.
Powered by the Breastfeeding Friend.
For breastfeeding advice, available 24/7 on Amazon Alexa and Google Assistant.